So we got to a few lines down in Vav Amud Aleph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4 lines down. And the Gemara begins, pose the following question to Rava. Behemoth Arnuna Chayeves Bebechora O Ein Chayeves Bebechora. What's a Behemoth Arnuna? So Rashi says, Behemoth Arnuna is Hamelech Notel Yisur Min HaBehema O Min HaTur. They had a certain tax. The king would collect 1/10 of all the animals, all the grains. That was their Arnuna. So let's say you had a behema in this among your flock, or your flock was subject to this 10% tax. So do you have to take give the first bechor, the first animal born, as a bechor to the kohen? Generally, the din is the first animal born to behema tahora is a bechor, and you have to give that to the kohen. The kohen ultimately brings it to the base of Mikdash, and he eats it. Question is, when the king has a 10% tax and he gets to receive 10%, is there an obligation to take a bechor or not? Rashi explains what's the suffix, chayeves bechor. The kaim lon we hold, the Gemara in Bechoras tells us, kol sheyad nochi beemsa, whenever nochi has a certain amount of ownership to it, peturim in a bechor, they're exempt from giving the bechor. Shenem, our pasuk says, li kol bechor b'Yisrael, avalo b'acherim. The kli, b'nei Yisrael has to own it, but not the acherim. It happens to be machlokas how much ownership he needs, that the Gemara in Bechoras discusses. The eider zeh she'isur shel melech besocha, this flock that has a tenth of the king, 10% of the king's hold in it, chayevitz bebechorah, lasayis lekorin habechorah shelahem alo. That was a suffix that was posed to Rava. So the Gemara says, kol hecha dematzi mesalei bezuzei, whenever you could just pay off the king and just give him 10% of money. You evaluate, you have 100 flocks, so you have to give 10 of the animals, and you could price it to each animal for the cow is worth $1,000, I have no clue, let's say $1,000 times 10, $10,000 you owe the king, you pay him off the money, and your animal is scot-free. So kol hecha dematzi mesalei bezuzei, you could pay off the king with money and don't have to give him the animals, lo kami baylam, the chayevitz. That was never such a suffix. Certainly there you're chai, because you get to keep the animal yourself. Ki kami baylam, when was the Gemara had a suffix? The suffix was hecha delo matzi mesalei bezuzei, when you can't pay him off. The king wants dafka, the animals. You have no choice, you have to give him 10 of the 100 animals you have in your possession. So to lo matzi mesalei bezuzei, mai. Well, that was a suffix. What's the din here? The Gemara says, Amrele Petura, your pater. You don't have to give it since the king has 10% of all your flock. Not, you can't define which 10. Every single animal, he has 1% of them. Obviously, you can't give 10% of each animal. You have to give 10 animals out of the 100. But still, every single animal is viewed as having 10% owned by the king. That's considered Yad Nachri Be'emtza, and therefore you're pater from the giving any first born animal. That's what the Gemara passes. Gemara says, "V'hatanya chayeves." Don't we have a brayse that says, in fact, you're chayv to give the bechor in such a case? Says the Gemara, "Halsam demotzi mesagle." Now that's a case where you could pay off the king with the money. You could pay off the king with the money, like we said earlier. Then einachnami, you would be chayv to give the bechor. Gemara says, "Ikadami." There's a different version of this story or this discussion. Amar Rava, "Behemas arnuna p'turim in a bechor." Pater. The afagav demotzi mesagle. Even though you can pay him off. The king doesn't have to necessarily take from the animals. You can actually pay him the value and the money. Even in such a case, you're still potter. Because right now, Rashi says, V'afagav d'matzim mesalikle, writes Rashi, V'chol kam d'lo salki yadu shayich b'behemos. So long as you have not paid him the money, the king does have a current hold, a current ownership in the animal. If you pay afterwards, you pay him the money. But right now, in the beginning, when the animal's born, he has a 10% hold of the animal, even though you could ultimately pay him off the money. Then the Gemara says, what about Isas Arnuna? Dough. Some dough that the said Rashi told us before, the king might have such a tax of 10% of all your animals and 10% of all your tool, all of your grains. So what happens if you have a Isas Arnuna? You have a dough, and 10% of the dough has to go ultimately to the king. So are you chayev to take chala or not? So the Gemara here, Paskins, not a suffix. Paskins, chayevis b'chala. In this case, you have to give chala, you have to take chala. Even though, ba'afagav delo matzim salikle. Even though you cannot pay off the king, even though the king is going to definitely take 10% of the dough, you're still chayev. Why? Didn't we say before the concept is whenever the nachri has an ownership in bechor and also in challah, your pater? The pater, I think Rashi quotes Ariso Seichem here. Rashi explains, Isas arnuna chayeves, apagav di isas nachri p'tur, even though the dough of a nachri is normally pater from challah, v'olcho Yisrael b'lo challah, and Yisrael Yid could eat the challah, eat the dough without taking challah, D'ha ariso seichem k'siv. It says you're ariso seich, not that of a goyim. Zu, however, this case is chayevus. Let's forget Rashi, because Rashi quotes the end of the Gemara now. Back to the Gemara. So what's the difference? Maishna, my taima. Why is it when it comes to a behema, if a nachi owns it, you're pater, but a chala, if a nachi owns it, you're actually chayev to take it to chala. Says the Gemara, behema is leikala, isa les leikala. Because people know when the king has a tax on the animals, everyone knows the reason why you're pater, you don't have to give the bechor, because the king has a ownership, certain 10% of that behema. When it comes to tefuah, people don't necessarily know about it. Or they don't know that this particular dough was part of the 10%, since it's less likely because of maris ayin reasons, one therefore has to take the challah, lest someone think he ate without taking challah.
Is it on the taxes on the dough or on the wheat? Does it make a difference?
The way Rashi presents it, he says the tax is on the tefuah. Once you turn that tefuah into dough, it seems like they would still have to pay the tax. I don't think you'd get exempt from the tax. It sounds like the tax would really, you know, persevere even through the process of making into wheat and then to the flour and then to the dough. I think if you haven't given the 10%, you still have to give it after it became a dough, which would indicate the Nachri still has a kinyan on the dough.
Isn't it the same thing we say that by wheat in general, it's not until after you thresh it anyways, or you kind of, like, on mice or whatever, anyways, the same thing. So here too, we're saying, like, once it gets to the dough stage, that's perhaps what you can defy it.
Right, well, I think
it's
the way...
It's not chal, then, I guess.
Well, that's in terms of the chiv chal or the chiv maisis trumos, what you're talking about. That chiv only kicks in once you're exactly... You may ruach it, you spread it out and level everything out. In this case, I don't think the tax of the king were so halachically defined. It just said, the way Rashi presents it, at least, minatvuah. Minatvuah grains usually means even it's an initial state. So you have to pay 10% of your grains. And if you happen to make it into dough, you're not exempt from your 10%. Then pay 10% of your dough. But I think the comparison to the halachic chiv of Chuma Mice is not necessarily comparable. So then the Gemara goes on to discuss something else. Tan Rabbanan, this is very halacha mice. I'm sure it comes up, especially workers. You own an office, let's say, and a Nachri brings in chametz into your office on Pesach. So Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Nachri she'nichnas l'chatzero she'yisrael. A goy comes into the chatzer, and again, any place a Jew owns, with ubitzeik ubiyata. He has a piece of bread in his hand. Ein zakek levar. There's no need to say, grab that piece of bread from his hand and burn it. And the Rashi quotes a reason, as we saw yesterday. Rashi says, Ein zakek levarer lo hiskiku lahotzi es anachim nebayish. You don't have to kick him out of the house. Kidamran, because said earlier, yesterday, aval ataro eshalachem. You're allowed to see other people's chametz. You know, it's to see someone else's chametz, so that's okay. But then the Gemara says, Hifkidu etzlo, let's say he gives it to you to watch. And Rashi adds, V'kabel aleh achraus, and you've taken the responsibility to watch it. And any loss, stolen, you have to pay the money back. Then that then is zokik levar. You have to burn it because you have a certain amount of, as we said, called davar gorim the mamon k'mamon dami. Anyone who's responsible to pay for any money, monetary loss, it's viewed as your ownership. But then the Gemara says, the third case is, let's say, yochilo bias ein zakek levar. Let's say you designate a house for him. And Rashi says here means, kilomar lo kibla lov. You didn't accept anything upon himself. Ela amar lo, haria bias lefanecha, hanach ba'achas min azavios ein zakek levar. You say, here, my house is open, pick a corner and place your bread. I have no responsibility, don't expect me to watch over it. Do whatever you want. In such a case, the Gemara paskins ein zakek levar. Could you just sing, haria lechol fanecha, I have nothing to do with this. Tosfos has a different pshat here we won't get into right now, how to define yachil bias. So those are three cases. If a nachi walks in with a piece of bread, or the nachi gives it to you to watch, or he designates the Jew designates a corner in your house for him to place it. The Gemara, the Braisa concludes, she'ne'mar lo yimotze. Brings a pasuk lo yimotze. Unclear, my Kama Gemara says, what is lo yimotze going, which stage of this Braisa is lo yimotze coming to prove? So Amar Rapapa Areshika. It's going in the beginning, v'hachi kamara. Hifkidu etzlo, if he gives it to you to watch, the Jew to watch, zokik levar, you have to burn it, shenemar lo yimotze, because then by you taking responsibility to watch it, that's considered matzah with you, it's considered found within your possession, then you have to burn it, that was the pasuk of lo yimotze. Rav Ashi says differently, Rav Ashi amar liolam aseifa kai, v'hochi kamar, yachid lo bayis, ein zokik levar. If you designate a place in the house, or you say, wherever you want in the house, place it, you have no responsibility to burn it. Shenema lo yimotze bivatechem. V'hav la didehu. So he says, the pasuk says, it can't be found in your house. Once I say it's yours, do whatever you want, place it in your corner. You could have that for the next week of Pesach. It's all yours. So then it's not my batechem. V'hav lav didehu. That corner is no longer mine as the Jew. D'nachi ki kama'ayel levesa d'nachi kama'ayel. He has full rights. This nachi, I'm giving him full rights to go into that corner whenever he pleases. So he's going in and out of his house, not my house. That's what the Gemara concludes. Those are two pshatim as to what shenem aloi matze is going to on the brisa. You're saying they're both in agreement. The question is how to read the Gemara. Right. It's exactly arguing how to read it, but I guess you're right. In halacha, they'd all be in agreement, probably. Correct. So the Gemara, but the issue is when, according to Rav Ashi, the Rav Ashi's pshat, something interesting comes out. Rav Ashi, according to Rav Ashi, the Gemara concludes, Lememra deschiris kanya. Is this to say that if you rent a house to a Nachri, does he have full ownership? The implication of Rav Ashi is that he does have full ownership. By me saying, pick a corner in your house, is as if I'm saying, I'm renting it to you for free, take that place, and it's all yours, I have nothing to do with it, even though it's in my building, if I rent it to you, you have full ownership. That would be the conclusion from Rav Ashi. But v'hatnan, doesn't the mission of Avodah Zarah tell us otherwise? It says, ap b'makom she'amru l'haschir lo, l'haschir, anytime we permit you to rent something to an achri. Lo l'beis dira amru, we don't allow you to rent to them for a house, a place of living, because they might bring avodah zarah, they might bring idols into your house. You could rent it to them for business, a storage house, but not to live, because once it's their base dira, they're likely to bring avodah zarah in the house. What it says on that, if you're going to say that renting something is a full ownership to the nachri, when the nachri ultimately brings avodah zarah into his house that he's currently renting from you as a base dira, in theory, he has full ownership. And it's the Nach who brings Avodah Zarah into his own property, not bring Avodah Zarah into my property. So it sounds like Schiris is not a full kinin for the Nachri. So the Gemara says no. Shiny Hacha, the Afki Rachamana B'loshon Lo Yimatzei. So really, Schiris is not a kinin. When I rent something to a Nachri, the Nachri does not have a full ownership. It's still my apartment building. And when he brings Avodah Zarah into my apartment building, it's my house he's bringing Avodah Zarah into, that's a problem. So Schiris is not really kinim. So why in this case, when I say you could have that corner, he brings the chametz into the corner, I have nothing to do with it. Isn't it my house? Isn't it my building he's bringing chametz into? The Gemara says, Shiny Hacha, here by chametz is different. The Afke Rachmana B'loshon Lo Yimotze. The special pasuk says, Lo Yimotze, Misha Motze B'yadcha, Yatzezeh She'ena Motze B'yadcha. Only something that is found to you, but something that's not found to you, where you've given him permission, even though not ownership, but you've given him permission and you have nothing to do with it, such a case, Rashi says, Shein Matzi B'yadcha, Sharei Osa Zavis Mesur L'Nachri. You gave that corner over to him to use. You don't need ownership, it's just for his shtamshus. He has full use of it. In such a case, since the pasuk says, Lo Yimatze, we derive, even in such a case, it's mutter. It's not a problem to have chametz in that corner. It's not about ownership, it's about matzui. Matzui is the key element when it comes to chametz.
So we say normally a house is not koine, that's why you're not allowed to give it to an akum.
Exactly.
But in this case, it's different because it's possible.
Exactly. Nothing to do with kinyan when it comes to chametz. It has to do with being matzui or not matzui.
The lacha is that it's not koine.
Exactly. The lacha is not koine. Right. Now that Mark talks about a case which I think does happen. Someone told me the other day he came home first from Alf. Came to ate at his cousin's house and it was Pesach night, and he went to one of the rooms in his cousin's house. He pulled out a chair, and his first night of Pesach, he found a box of Dunkin' Donuts. What are you supposed to do if you find chametz in your house on Pesach? They could have bought it like Erev Pesach to have your last chametz and your last
Dunkin' Donuts. Never gets there. Have it for 10 years.
So such a case, Rehuda talks about. So two wide lines down. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Hamotzi Chametz Bebezo B'Yomtov. What happens if you find Chametz in your house on Yomtov? So the din is, Kof Alav Es HaKli. You take a Kli, you cover it. Rashi says, why do you have to cover it? Why don't you take it out, throw it in the toilet, throw it outside, throw it in the river? Says Rashi, Kof Alav Es HaKli, Deho Lo Chazi L'Tutuli V'Afuge. It's Muksa. Since it has no purpose, you can't eat it, it becomes Muksa. Umihu bival yirai lo avar. But you haven't violated the Isser bal yirai. Didn't I see it? Isn't it owned by me? It's an Isser bal yirai. No. Da butle bilibe me'esmal. Yesterday, Erev Pesach, as mevatel mechametz b'liv. T'kidamin l'kaman. We'll say later on, abodek tzarech shevata b'libo. So why do you have to cover it all then? There's no Isser. I don't own it anymore. Ela mishum shelo yishchach v'yochlenu tzarch kfiaskli. Because I might, I'm used to eating bread, I might just take a bite of the Dunkin' Donuts. So for that purpose, cover it, lest you come to eat. So they point out here, the Bach learns out from this Rashi. That sounds like, let's say yesterday I did not do bittul. So I presented with Dunkin' Donuts on my chair. I might violate the Isra of Bali Ra'a by seeing. Now, what am I supposed to do? So Taz writes, based on this Rashi, it sounds like one should be Docha the Isra Muksa, take the bread, take the Dunkin' Donuts, and throw it in the river.
Because Muksa is a Rabbana.
Exactly, right. Miri says the same thing. Miri says, because kind of like Ase Docha Lo Sase, to avoid the Isra Deraisa of Bali Ra'a, it's one's allowed to be Docha the Isra Muksa, the Rabbana. That's what the Miri says. However, one of the Rishonim in Pesachim, the Marmar Chalava, says otherwise. He says, no, not true. You don't apply this din here. Because the Chachamim said that they established that the Isser Muksa applies even in the context of an Isser Deraisa, because Muksa is predicated on an Isser Deraisa. The Gemara of Pesachim later on has a Havamina that Muksa is an Isser Deraisa. The Gemara ends up rejecting it, but it's based on a concept Deraisa, without getting to, unless you remember from Masechta Shabbos already, the number of sources of reasons for Muksa, but it's very much predicated on the concept of Deraisa. So it has the status of Deraisa. You cannot be Docha the Issa Deraisa Muksa, not really Deraisa, because the Issa Deraisa of Bal Yirah. So then Rabbeinu Manoach, one of the Mefarshim on the Rambam, asks, so shouldn't it be Essay Docha Los Essay? The Essay of Tashbisu, by getting rid of it, Tashbisu, should be Docha the Los Essay of Muksa. So why not do that?
It's not yours anymore.
It's not.
When
Pesach
starts,
so he doesn't get an answer. No, I guess that in terms of bittul,
only if you did bittul,
right?
If you don't do it's knesset, you don't. That's still yours.
Exactly, you don't do bittul. So that's the gemara in the bottom of next amud will say, even though it's not in your rishus, the Torah put it in your rishus.
Right.
So you're still allowed to, and even still, you have to do tashbisu. So why not do tashbisu and override the iser of muksa? Rabbeinu Noach says you only apply esed ochalos esed when you're going to be mekayim the asay when doing the los asay. So here I have the muksa, I have the donuts which are muksa. If I start moving the donuts, I haven't mekayim tashbisu yet. I'm violating a los asay outside the context of the asay. If somehow you could accomplish both at the same time, so then maybe it would, but yeah, I guess you couldn't think of such a case.
There's the Piskei Tosfos in Tzvachim that says that we don't say b'idna if it's efshar b'inyan acher. Only say it if there's, it's not possible to do the asay without actually being able
to. But this is possible to do it. Even though halachli it's not possible because it's an iser, but you are, let's say after Yontif, I could take it and then I could burn it at the same time or something like that. I can do it at the same moment, ideally. So it's only in a case where it's actually physically impossible.
Would you still be mekayim the asay at that later point? If you waited for a later point to do it?
I would think so. Even though you delay, even though I think I saw, I can't remember who, but someone said, even though I miss a tashbisu every time I delay the tashbisu over Pesach, every moment I miss a tashbisu, ultimately when I do it, I am mekayim the aser. It's not, you know, erev Pesach and that's it. You could always be mekayim it. The question is, you mevatel aser each time that you don't.
But let's say you pour acid over it.
That's interesting. Pour acid over it, so at the same moment, and you're not even touching it.
You're not even touching it, and the moment that you're pouring into it, you're actually destroying it.
That would seem like a good way to get rid of it.
You have no kitchen left.
You still have some sort of problems, you know?
Let's say you have like powerful acid, just
right,
like...
It's not a rabbi lefi lefken.
You have Sean Bias issues, probably.
Yes. You have no kitchen left.
But the acid, the acid itself has no purpose to it. Acid might be muksa also.
It's bleach.
Saying that has a purpose.
Right. What's the purpose of bleach?
You find something that has a purpose that could get rid of the chametz.
Right.
Let's say it's
right. Which one, sorry?
If you have a bad smell, let's say the sink or something, you want to pour some bleach into the sink.
Drano.
I'm not sure. There's a concept of Graf Shirei, anything that smells, like taking out the garbage itself is muksa. If it smells in the house, one's allowed to take the garbage out. So I'm not sure about this case. You're not directly, the bleach itself, there's no tzarch for the bleach, it's just secondary to remove the smell. I'm not sure, you might be right. I don't know, but I guess a good smell, you'll have to spray Lysol. It's a good smell, it's a pleasant smell.
Right.
Especially so, removal, the mesalik, a bad smell, maybe that would be allowed also, maybe, I don't know. Okay, so that might, if you could find the case that's something that's not muksa, which could make the bread inedible, that might be another eitzah. but you have to wonder why the Rishonim didn't suggest it. Okay, so then the Gemara says,
maybe it was in those days. Right. They had chemicals.
Right, they must have had some stuff.
Yeah, they probably did.
Must have something.
Yeah.
Same type of effect.
Yeah, the like a lime.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
They used to mix it for the bricks.
Uh huh. So that's
natural.
Something like
so that's
that.
Like caustic, but it's natural. So they had those type of things.
Okay, so I guess I'll look into see if there's another way to do this. I don't know. So then the Gemara goes on to say, so the ideal situation is if you find chametz on Pesach, it's to cover with a kli. Then Amar Rava im shel hekdesh. Let's say the chametz happened to be of hekdesh, designated to the base of mikdash. Ein otzar. You don't need to cover it. My taima mivda baldo binay. Once it's hekdesh, and somehow you have to assume the person knows it's hekdesh. The person already knows how to separate from hekdesh. Normally speaking, chametz someone eats all year round. So just because it's Pesach all of a sudden, he might come to eat the Dunkin' Donuts. But if it's shel hekdesh, and a person all year round knows how to separate from hekdesh, you don't need an additional covering of the kli to separate him even further. Let's say you have the chametz of a nachri in your possession. You have to make a fence around it, 10 tefachim high at least, as a reminder not to touch it. You should want to try to understand why the difference. The first case you need to cover with a kli. The second case you have to build a mechitza. The Rishon deal with that case. Vim shehekdesh. Once again, let's say the nachri's chametz of the nachri is hekdesh. Here too, also you don't need any type of hacker. You do not need a fence. My taima mivdal bado inish minay. Because the person already is accustomed to separating from hekdesh. So now Tosos here asks on the bottom kofel of kli. Remember from Shabbos, right at the beginning, really the middle of Shabbos, Afagav Dikleman Damar Perkira Ein Kli Nital Eladava Harnital. The halacha is based in the Mishnah. You can only use a kli if it's being used for something else that is not muksa. So I take this kli, which is permitted. I have a bowl, but I can only use this bowl for something else that's not muksa. But to use it for something that is muksa, like this case of chametz and Pesach, that is not allowed. So how are we allowed to take this kli for something that's muksa? That's the shaila of Tosfos has. Tosfos gives two answers. He says, "Ikalok me bitzarach l'mukomo." It's a case where you needed the place of the bowl. The bowl was in your way. You picked it up. Once you pick it up, you can put it anywhere you want, even for something, for the purpose of something that is muksa. And the second answer he writes is, "Inami hocha shari mishim dilma asil l'mechle." No, here is a special gzera because it might lead to you eating. So they're able to override this isser of ein. You could docha that iser derbanan for the prevention of someone eating chametz on Pesach. The Kovit Shirum of Elchanan Wasserman gives a third pshat, right? Lam Shir pshat. He says that this case, you're covering the chametz not for the chametz, it's for the person. You're not using the kli for something that's muksa, you're using the kli for the gavra, for the person. For him, he's not muksa, of course, so it doesn't fall into this category of tosis. For some reason, tosis thought it wasn't that way. He gave a different answer, but that's what Rav Chanan Wasserman suggests. The Gemara goes on and says, "V'amr Rav Yehuda Marav Hamefarish Vayotzi B'Shayara." Someone goes out.
Yeah, that's Pshat. That's the second answer.
The reason why he didn't like the first answer.
No, the second answer when he says here it's Shari because it's the Dilma Asil Mechla. It could be the.
Oh, that's the Din of the Gavra. You're saying. Yeah. Uh-huh. Interesting. So that's the two Man Amrim is one the Din of the Chavs, so one the Din of the Gavra. Okay, I hear that. V'amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Hamefarish Vayotzi B'Shayara, someone who goes out on a trip, he goes far away, business, whatever it might be. Kodim Shloshim Yom, this happens often. 30 days or more before Pesach, 31 days or more before Pesach, Ein Zakuk L'Dvar, he has no responsibility to burn the chametz. Toch Shloshim Yom, let's say he goes within the 30 day period, after Purim and on. Zakuk L'Dvar, he has to burn the chametz. So now Abai comes along to qualify this statement. Amar Abai, Hod the Amris Toch Shloshim Yom, Zok Levar, that which says that within 30 days you have to burn it, Lo Amrin Elisha Daito Lachzer. It's only when you have intentions to return during Pesach, says Rashi. But Aval Ein Daito Lachzer, Ein Zok Levar, but if you have no intentions to return, even though you leave 2 days before Pesach, let's say, but you don't plan on coming back during Pesach, there's no obligation to burn the chametz. Because the only concern is you might come back during Pesach, and you're going to have chametz there. So for very practical reasons, they say, burn it before you come back. So the whole idea, so according to this, Rava doesn't like this. Amar Le Rava, if you eat daita lachzer, if your intentions are to come back, Meaning, what Abaye basically does is he gets rid of the 30-day different distinction. It's all about whether you have intention to come back or not to come back. If you plan on leaving Rosh Hashanah and coming back 6 months later for Pesach, certainly you have to get rid of the chametz so you don't come back during Pesach with chametz. And if your intentions are not to come back, so you never have to do bedikah. So Rava doesn't like that opinion of Abaye. So El Amar Rava, Hada Amris Kodem Shloshim Yom, that which you said if you leave before 30 days, 31 days or more, that you don't have to burn the chametz, la amrin ela she'ein dai t'lachzer. That's only if you don't plan on coming back during Pesach. Aval dai t'lachzer, if you do plan on coming back during Pesach, afilim Rosh Hashanah zokeg levar. Even from the times of Rosh Hashanah you have to. But if you plan on leaving during, within the 30 days, whether or not you do plan on coming back or don't plan on coming back, you always have to do a bedikah and a bir. So within 30 days you have to always do bedikah. If it's more than 30 days, it depends whether you plan on coming back or not.
Planning not to come back.
The Gemara will address what's this 30-day zone. Why during 30 days you have to cross the board, have to always do bedikah. The Gemara will explain this. So the Gemara brings a raya for as he says, points out the Rava goes l'shitaso. V'oz the Rava l'tameh, he goes according to his general reasoning that the Amar Rava ha'osa beisa otzer kodem shloshim yom ein zakeg levar. The person makes his house into a storage house. He no longer uses it as a place of eating. So if it's 30 days or more before Pesach, you don't have to burn the chametz. Toch shloshim yom, let's say he turns it over from a bias into an otzer within the 30-day time period, zokik levar, v'kodem shloshim yom, and when we're talking about 30 days or more before Pesach, nami lo amrin ela she'ein dait lefnos. So it's only when he does not plan on turning it back into a bias. He just plans on leaving it as an otzer, as a storage house forever. Aval dait lefnos, if he plans on turning it back over to a bias, then kodem shloshim yom, afilu kodem shloshim yom, nami zokik levar. Same idea, the turning over of an otzer into a bias is the same thing as dait lachzor or not.
Yeah,
and the reason,
but here would be a contradiction, because he's saying that if it's more than 30 days and you're planning to turn it back, you have to do it. And he just said before that, if you leave before 30 days, you don't have to do it.
No, according to Rava, Rava said, within 30 days, you always have to do bedikah, regardless
right.
of your intentions. If it's more than 30 days, that depends on whether you plan coming back or not plan
yeah,
coming
but
back.
Yeah, let's say he's planning to come back after Pesach, he would have to say that you still have to do it because...
Oh, I think it's according to Rashi, only if you plan coming back during Pesach.
Right, but the fact that that if you turn it into machzen, that you still have to do bedikah, he's saying that he's going to turn it back into a bira before Pesach, then he must be saying that also.
Yeah, no, I agree, yes. I think he is saying
okay.
that, yeah.
Okay.
I think, let's see, Rashi says that explicitly. Yeah, I don't see him saying it explicitly, but I think that's the idea, is that he plans on turning it back either before Pesach
or during
Pesach,
okay.
right. And Rashi explained, what's the reason turning into an otzer is going to be exempt you from checking B'dikas Chametz? So Rashi writes, otzer, two lines from the bottom, Shehichnis sham tvua v'tachtei chametz. You brought grains in, and below that you have chametz right in the bottom of all the tvua. V'armin l'kaman, chametz shenofa lav mapoles harehu kimivur. So if something, you have a house gets destroyed on top of chametz, so here he says the tevua gets piled on top of the chametz, you're not going to access the chametz. In such a case, you would not have to do a bedikas chametz. Now comes, yeah.
It's like chametz falling behind the
right.
stove,
right. Exactly. Or it's like from Hurricane Sandy, if anyone got flooded, so that house was completely removed in any chametz. So on this is the Taz points out a very interesting diuk. In Rashi, the question comes up about when, if a person goes away, happens often a person goes to Israel or Florida and he has to do bedikah a week beforehand. So when should a person do the bittel? Do you do the bittel when you do the bedikah a week earlier, or do you wait until Erev Pesach to do, or the night of Pesach before to do bittel wherever you are, in Florida or Israel? So Rashi says here, Bafil Merash Hashanah Nami, three or four lines from the bottom, he says, Dechi hadar bimei Pesach avar leh. When you return to Pesach and you haven't checked for chametz, you're going to be over the iser of Balyira. V'hahib shaita, in that moment, la b'shusehu d'livtale. During Pesach, it's no longer in your rishus, so you don't have the ownership of the chametz to be mevatale. Sherei iser hanahu v'enu shalo. Something that's asked about na is no longer yours. This is argued about, but right now that's Rashi's opinion. Iser hana is not shalo. And when you see it, you're over the iser of Baal Yirah. So according to this, Taz writes, the Taz makes a dig, which I didn't quite get this, but he wanted to say as follows, that he learned that the bittul should take place erev Pesach. Because what's the concern if you were not mevatel it? You can't mevatel it now. Why weren't you mevatel it already? If you did the bedika, you should have done a bittul also during the times of bedika. So no, Taz says the bittul should be done erev Pesach. And you may have forgotten to do the bittul erev Pesach, so then on Pesach you violate the Isser because you no, can no longer do the bittul. The Taz writes that the ideal time to do bittul is erev Pesach. Based on this, not the clearest Dik in Rashi, but that's why he wants to be Medayik from this Rashi. The Magen Avraham argues and says, no, a person might forget, you should really do the Bittul when you do the Bedika. Because then you're in a lot of trouble if you forgot to do it. Because at least when you're doing the Bedika, you're involved in Chametz, and then you remember. The Bittul could work a week earlier, so you have a week without any Chametz. That's great. So that's a big machlokes, and perhaps is based on how to read this Rashi. Now the Gemara goes on to say,
but this is, you're doing Bittul as soon as you're leaving.
Or
you can do bittul and be in your house still for a few days.
Well, it gets, that's more involved in halacha l'maisa, but can a person be mevatel and then still eat the chametz? Can be mevatel in certain types of chametz.
Right.
I want mevatel this chametz, but not that loaf of bread. So they deal with this issue. Pashas as you can.
That's what we normally do.
Yeah. We leave aside.
Say at night, and then you still have some
right.
For breakfast.
So pashas as you can, exactly. But I think what's done is I think people do bedika a week before whenever they leave, and then they do the bittul at that time also. And if they remember, do it again exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Which we also do again twice.
Right.
We do bittul
exactly.
At night, and we do bittul again.
Exactly. That's a big machlok, is exactly what the ideal time is to do bittul. It's the best to do bittul at night, best to do bittul during the daytime. We say to do both. And the regarding also this case of when you do bedika a week earlier or so, machlokas in the Rishonim right here in Pesachim, whether you say a bracha on such a bedika. Normally we of course do say a bracha on the bedika the night before. Do you say a bracha when doing the bedika a week or so earlier? I think machlokas in the Ramah Paskins that we do not say bracha when doing it a week earlier. So now the Gemara wants us to know, where do we find this 30-day period that if you leave within 30 days of Pesach, you have to do bedika, regardless of whether you're coming back or not? The Gemara says three lines from the bottom. Honey shloshim yom my avidasai. Where do you get this 30-day period from? So Gedetanya shol and v'dorshin v'hilchos haPesach chodem haPesach shloshim yom. The halacha is that you're supposed to ask and v'dorish the halachos haPesach 30 days prior. And again, to a discussion, does that mean on Yud Dalet on Purim itself or Tes Vav or the day after Purim? Is it really 30 days mamish? Because 30 days would be Yud Dalet. To your dalet by 30 days. So some say yes, even on Purim you're supposed to start learning the halachas of Pesach. Others say no, Purim is Purim. Wait the day afterwards. 30 is lav dafka. It's like, you know, chamishim yom. We count 50 days, we really count 49 days. Then Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer shtei shabbosos. No, the period of preparation of Pesach, of learning the halachas, only requires two weeks, not 30 days. So Gemara wants to know, what's the basis of this machlokas? So my time is the Tanakhama. Why does the Tanakhama think you need a full 30 days? Sharei Moshe Omeid bePesach Rishon. He was standing. He was dealing with Pesach Rishon in the Midbar. Umazial Pesach Sheni, and he already started telling them the lachas of Pesach Sheni. So this formulation of Sharei Moshe Omeid bePesach Rishon Umazial Pesach Sheni, the Miri wants to say it sounds like it's not a real din deraisa. The Gemara is just really recording a story, the mice that happened to Moshe Rabbeinu, what he happened to have done. It doesn't sound like it's a real obligation in Midiraisa, so the Miri learns from this language of the Gemara that's only in a smach de ba'alma, the concept of Shloshim Yom.
Also, it was people who came to Moshe, Moshe that was actually telling
exactly.
Them.
So again,
it wasn't caused by him.
Right. Okay. So Tos is going to address that point. If it's only initiated by the people,
right.
There's no real din.
No.
So we'll see that in Tosis in a second, exactly. But the other poskim, the Levush and the Pnei Yeshua here, and many other poskim think it's a real din deraisa. It's not simply nesmachta. So what's the pasuk though? Shenemar v'yasu bnei Yisrael asa pesach b'muado. They started doing the Karban Pesach in the right time. And then there were people who were tamei. And Moshe said, you know what, you can't do the Pesach this time around because you're tamei, get tahor, and then in 30 days from now you can perform Karban Pesach on Pesach Sheni. So that was a 30-day period learned out by the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer l'cha aydi da'ari b'mil d'pischa masik l'hu l'chol mil d'pischa. No, it was very practical reasons. He already started talking about the halachas of Karban Pesach Rishon. Once he was on the topic, he figured he'd finish all the halachas of Pesach Sheni, because for the most part, the few exceptions, for the most part, they're pretty much the same. Pesach Sheni and Pesach Rishon. There's a mission later on in Pesach which tells us what the differences are, but for the most part, they're pretty much the same. So once he's talking about Pesach, he may as well finish all of Dinei Pesach. So that rejects the raya of the Tanakhama. So what's the reason?
What is he saying?
Said the reason why on Pesach Rishon Moshe Rabbeinu started telling the halachas of Pesach Sheni was not to tell me that you need 30 days to prepare for any yontif. It's because once he's on the topic of Pesach, he'll speak about Pesach Rishon, and then he'll continue to speak about Pesach Sheni, which is convenient.
But that's also not 2 weeks before. That it was right. Right, the day before Pesach.
Right, right. But he's trying to the halacha.
He's trying to basically to say that 30 days is not, but he's not proving why 2 days.
Right, exactly. The next line tells us why 2 weeks. Uh-huh. He just rejects the 30-day approach. That's not a right, good source. Okay. But why 2 weeks?
Why is I'm missing why 30 days? Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them not on Pesach, was before. So it should be really before.
Before he's telling them,
not let's say like Purim to Pesach, where it's exactly 30 days. He was telling them before.
Well, he was this. The story was on Yud Dalet Nisan. They bring the Karban Pesach, and then there are a few people who are saying, we're tamei. We can't bring the Pesach today. He said, oh, in 30 days from now there'll be something called a Pesach Sheni. So that's what we learn 30 days from. So
it's not 30. It's really 30 days. It's not Pesach really starts at night. It's really.
Pesach Sheni though is Yudalad.
Right. Okay.
So if he told him Yudalad to Yudalad, so that would be 30 days. Depending if you include Yudalad, you don't include which Yudalad you include. I'll have to ask the actuary about how to count those things.
So Pesach Sheni is the day before. Is actually chayav Yudim at night, or
Pesach Sheni chiv is Yudalad during the daytime.
Oh, daytime.
Daytime, yeah. Oh, so
Erev
Pesach.
It's actually a raya that's 30 days.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. So once Rashbag said, Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel says, no, that's not a good raya for 30 days. That was just because of convenience to speak about all of Dinei Pesach. So my time with the Rashbag. So what's the reason Rashbag thought 2 weeks? Sharei Moshe Omed B'Rosh Chodesh. He was standing in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Alf Nisan. U'mazir al Pesach, and he started telling them halachas of Karban Pesach Rishon. Shenemar HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, it says in Parshas Bo, Rosh Chodesh. This is the first of the months. We're standing on Chodesh Nisan. And it says, Dabru called Das Yisrael, Lemor Be'esor LaChodesh Hazer, on the 10th of Nisan, you're going to take a Karban Pesach. V'chulahem Ish Selevei Savos V'gomer. He starts telling them halachas of Karban Pesach, although it was prepared on the 10th of Nisan, they took the Karban Pesach, it wasn't brought until the 14th. So from 1 to 14, we have 2 weeks. That's the source of Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel. And Tosfos on the top here says, the second Tosfos rather, U'mazil Pesach Sheni, Afagav, as we said, right? As Ricky asks, Afagav shayi de shelason huskak lo marlehen. What do you mean? Moshe wasn't telling them, wasn't giving them the drasha. They asked him, they initiated, they said, listen, we're Tomei, we can't bring the Karban Pesach. So how are you able to learn halacha that you have to be proactive every yontif and learn 30 days beforehand? The only reason why Moshe told them halachas of Pesach Sheni was because they asked him about the halachas of Pesach Sheni. So Tosfos answers, Mikol makom lo hayat tzarich laharich ela al tasu Pesach v'sulo. Moshe could have just answered, so don't bring the Karban Pesach, and that's it. He could have been silent. The fact that he went on to discuss, gave a whole shir about Pesach Sheni, indicates that there's a halacha to tell the Dor HaSholem V'Dorshin all the halachas 30 days beforehand. Ah, so why did Moshe wait for them to ask? Somehow he knew they would ask, let's say, or they were zochah to have it being the parsha written on their behalf. The Ran says no. The Ran says the halacha of Dor HaSholem V'Dorshin is not halacha of giving a shir. It's about prioritizing shilas. Someone comes to you with a question, so you have to usually answer whoever was first in line, answer his question first. But let's say someone comes within the 30 days and says, I have a Pesach question. Even though the guy before him says, I have a Hilchos Kashrus question, you have to give the guy the Hilchos Pesach question first, because that's the halacha, that's what we learn from this halacha. The guy who initiated, the people who initiated the questions, the whole halacha is about asking and answering questions, not about giving shirim. And therefore, it's a little more precise, according to the Ran. When you initiate a question.
But those are things also that he could have said, listen, you know what? Don't bring now. And he could have told him about Pesach Sheni after Pesach.
Well, that's what Tosfos is saying.
Right.
But the fact that he didn't do that,
right,
he told them the whole shir on Pesach Sheni then,
it's
a proof, right? And now the Gemara goes on to say, how do you really know that the Rashbag was talking about a case of Rosh Chodesh? Mimai de Beresh Yircha Kai. When he said Achodesh Hazelachem, how do you know he's referring to Rosh Chodesh? Dilma ba'arba b'yircha b'chamisha b'yircha. Maybe they were dealing with the 4th or 5th of Nisan. And he said, this month that we find ourselves in is called the first month of the months. How do you know it's Rosh Chodesh? So Ella Amara Rabba Barsimi Mishmer Deravina Mahacha. Because the pasuk says, "Va'idaber Hashem al Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'Shana Ashenish b'Chodesh Rishon." They were in the Midbar in the second year of the first month. Uksiv Va'yasu Bnei Yisrael as a Pesach b'Mado. And then that year, they brought the Karban Pesach. So we see they're dealing with Rosh Chodesh. Where do you see that? Gemara says, "Hachanami Mimai Debrish Yirchakai." Whoever said they're talking about the first of the month. There's no mention of the first of the month. It could have been any other day of the month.
I'm sorry, he's saying when Moshe said HaChodesh HaDeh, Rosh Chodesh Hashim, he says that it doesn't mean that it's...
We have no proof. There's no indication from the pasuk explicitly that it's talking about the first of the month.
Isn't there a Rashi that says that Hashem showed him how the Levana has to look?
No, he does show him, but it doesn't necessarily mean it was in the first of the month when he showed it to him. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, Rashi says HaZeh, like this, and like this, and like this. But it doesn't mean it was on the first of the month. It could have been the fourth or the fifth of the month. The truth is, some of the Achronim want to know why they choose as an example the fourth or the fifth of the month. So some might say that because the fourth and the fifth of the month, you could still see the moon when it's becoming new. Beyond the fifth of the month, you might not, it already looks like an older month. So HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, Hashem could only show Moshe HaZeh if it was one of the first few days of the month. The Gemara could have suggested two or three also, the second or third of the month could have accomplished the same. So the Gemara says now, so how do you know that HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem is really the first of the month? So Amar Rav Nachman B'Yitzhak, Asya Midbar Mimidbar. He learned the Gzeir Shavah. Ksiv Hocha Bamidbar Sinai. It says Bamidbar Sinai here. Uksiv Hasam Vaidaber Hashem Al Moshe Bamidbar Sinai Boral Moed Be'echa Lachodesh Hasheni. Mala Halim Rosh Chodesh Afkan Rosh Chodesh. So just like in one place it says the word Bamidbar, and that's in the context of the first of a month. So the Hebrew Bamidbar is talking about the first of a month, and that's how we learn HaChodesh Zelachem is talking about the first of the month, Rosh Chodesh. And that serves as the source for Rav Rashbag.
So Rosh was telling the way on the first of the month. So that's a month and a half before Pesach.
No, because Rashbag's raya was from Pesach Rishon, not Pesach Sheni. The Tanakhama wanted to bring a raya from Pesach Sheni. Rashbag had a completely different raya. Pesach Rishon is learned out, the halachas of Pesach Rishon were taught on the first day, and 2 weeks later, Pesach Rishon was brought. So at least we see the Rishonim and Achron want to know which other Yom Tovim does this apply to. So we see at least from this Gemara, according to Tanakhama, it certainly applies to Pesach Sheni, Kav HaChomer to Pesach Rishon, and then they talk about what about Shavuos, and not so many lachas by Shavuos, Sukkos, Purim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. They talk about this, but certainly from the Gemara, Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni would be subject to the lachas of Sholem V'Darshan. Then the Gemara says, goes on to on a tangent here, V'nichto b'reishav d'chodesh Rishon, v'hadar nichto b'chodesh Sheni. The Gemara, the Psukim, seem out of order. You look at Rashi all the way towards the top, three lines down. So nichto b'reishav. Lo Ashmaisen Parch. We're not talking about the sugya we've been talking about up until now. Ela Aseder Parshios Kaparch. We're talking about, generally speaking, the order of Parshios. Michti. Parshios Pesach Nemra Tchila. Chronologically, Pesach came first. Sharei B'chodesh Arishon Nemra. It was talking about on the first of the month. The first month. Kedichse B'chodesh Arishon Lemar. Who Parshios Pekudim Nemra B'Iyar. And Parshios Pekudim was mentioned Iyar, the second month. So my time akadamai lahai barosh hasefer uparshas uparshas baloscha. If Pekudei, halachas of building the Mishkan, happened really after chronologically, but in the order of the Chumash, Pekudei comes before baloscha. Baloscha, the halachas of Karban Pesach, we're talking about baloscha in Chodesh Nisan. So baloscha should really be before Parshas Pekudei. So why then did the Chumash present it as Pekudei first, and then baloscha afterwards? That's the question of the Gemara. So here the Gemara gives a famous concept. Amar Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa Mishmei D'Rav Zosa Meres. This comes to teach us Ein Muktam Amuchah B'Torah. There's no order when it comes to the Torah. Amar Rav Papa Lo Amrin Ela B'Trei Inyanah. This is only true in the two different concepts. There's no order. Aval B'Chad Inyanah, within one concept, Mai D'Muktam Muktam, Mai D'Muchah Muchah. Whatever comes first is first in the order, whatever comes later is later. D'Lo Teima Hachi, if you don't say this, klal prat, anytime you have a klal, a generic rule, and then a detail of prat, ain b'chlal el mashir prat, that rule, duma prat o klal, maybe it should be a prat and then a klal, not a klal then a prat, because if there's no order to psukim, you can never have a klal or prat. Vesu, furthermore, the opposite, let's say you have a prat o klal, a detail, and then you have the general rule, Nasa klal mosif. The rule tells me that the klal is most of our prat, that you first have a detail, and the klal adds to the prat. So dilma klal upratu. Maybe it's really a klal and a prat. You can never have any order. So once that's the case, then you throw out all these yud gimel midos shen nedreshes b'hem. That can't be the case. So within one inyan, there is an order. With two inyanim, there's no order.
We hold like that? Is that what we hold?
That's what we hold. But there is a big machlokas. How do you define an inyan? Right. Is an inyan a parsha, let's say, where there's the breaks in the psukim, where the spaces? Or is an inyan just a story? And sometimes you give a very long story, or let's say no break at all. But within no breaks, there might be different stories within it. So there's a machlokas rishonim how to exactly to define one inyan and two inyanim. You see many times Rashi and Ban al-Torah actually argue about Ein Muktim Vilcha B'Torah. Rashi will apply the din and Ramban says, no, you're completely wrong. So usually the machlokas is based on how to define an inyan versus two inyanim. So the Gemara says, once that's the case, that with two inyanim there is not necessarily an order. Ihachi afilu betrei inyanei nami. So even within two inyanim there's going to be a problem. Because hanich l'man damar klal uprat hamruchokin zemezeh ein danin oso b'chal prat shapir. There's a machlokas in Rashi first, there's more manachos. If you have such a concept of a klal prat that are very distant from each other, you give a klal in one pasuk and a prat a few pasukim later on, even though they're far apart, you can still have this concept of klal prat and ruchokim zebazeb. So some say you can make such a klal prat, others say you cannot. So if you say you cannot make such a klal prat, it makes sense according to this because there ain't muktim lucha b'torah. You can have two different inyanim and there's no order. So you can't make a klal prat when the different inyanim are out of order.
How far apart?
So they don't quite define how far apart it is. I don't remember seeing anywhere how far. I'm not sure where the gather is of the. But el man damar donin, the one who says you are allowed to make a klal prat, even though they are distant, the klal and prat are very far apart from each other. Ma'ik lememar. So you could only assume you're only allowed to make a klal prat muhokin if there's an order to the inyanim. If there's no order, how could you make it? So the Gemara says afilu man damar donin. You're only allowed to make a klal prat muhokin if they're all found within one inyan. However big or small it is, it has to be within one, be like a 50 pasuk inyan, and it can be very far apart. That's allowed. But if there are two different inyanim, although only two pasukim away, but let's say they're two different breaks, then you can't make such a klal prat muhokin.
So I'm sorry. So in Shas, whenever we have klal prat, it's always within the same inyan and always together.
I would have to assume that. I can't tell you that. I know that, but...
All right. Good to remember.
Yeah. So then the Gemara goes on to talk about, back to Bedikas Chametz. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Habodik Tzarech Sheiv Hatel. A person who does Bedika has to also do a Bittel. My Taima, Inema Mishim Prirum. If it's, what's the reason? Once you've done a Bedika, you've thoroughly cleaned your house. So what's the purpose of a Bittel? If you're going to tell me, name a mission pirurim, you might have a piece of bread, crumbs, halacha shivi. That doesn't really, they're nothing. Who cares about them? They're worthless. V'chi tema kevin dimintar luagav besa chashiva. Maybe you're going to tell me that since they're within your house and they're protected within your house, that shmira gives it a status of being something chashiv, and therefore you have to do bittel on those small crumbs. V'hatani, doesn't the brayser we're about to see tell us that shmira does not necessarily make something chashiv? The brayser tells us, Sofei te'enim are the ends of the figs, the ends of the season where the figs are not getting any better. They're pretty bad figs that are left on the trees. U'mishamer sadeh, and I'm watching my field, mipnei anovim. I'm watching my field because of the grapes. The grapes are very nice and ripe and fresh. Happen to be there these bad figs, but I'm watching the field for the grapes. Or sofei anovim, it's the end of the grape season. The grapes that are left in the vines are very, very bad, very poor quality. I'm watching them for some other types of fruits which are now in season. And the grapes happen to be there. So Bisman Shabbat Bais Makbid Aleim, when the Baal Bais is Makbid even on the Sofei Te'enim or the Sofei Anavim, so Asur Mishim Gezel V'chayavim Ibmeiser, that since I'm Makbid on them, I'm watching it over also on the bad grapes, also on the bad figs, the my Hakbada will make there an Isser Gezel if you take my fruit, and will also make me chayv to take mice if I collect them. However, Bezman Sha'in Baal Bais Makbid, if I don't really care about the grapes, they happen to be there, but I really don't care for them, they're really hefker, then they're mutar mishum gezel uptur mishum meiser. One's allowed to take them, and one's pater from meiser. So we see here the very fact that I'm being shomer, they happen to be under my protection, the grapes are under my protection, the figs are under my protection, it does not create an ownership. It doesn't make it chashiv, one's allowed to steal it. Here too also, the very fact that it's in my house, these crumbs, doesn't make it chashiv, the crumbs are here, I don't really care, they're hefker. So again, why do a bittel if you've done a thorough bedika? So I'm a rava, gzeir Hashem, yimatzei glusko yofev adayto le. You might have happened to find, you didn't do a thorough cleaning as you thought. You find a nice box of Dunkin' Donuts, like we said, and you, oh, this is a nice piece of Dunkin' Donuts, I want to eat some of it. Because of that concern, you mevatel it to, if you do happen to find it, the bittel will cover that as well. So Gemara says, why do you have to do bittel erev Pesach? V'chi mishkachas lelevale. So maybe if you happen to find the Dunkin' Donuts, and then you should do the bittel. Why do the bittel during the times of the Bedika? Dilma mishkachas lelevate isura, because you might find it on Pesach itself. If you find it on Pesach, La Bishu Se Kaimi, it's not in your Rishus anymore. Velo Matzi Mevatel, and you can't be Mevatel once it's no longer in your Rishus. Dama Rabbi Lazar, Shnei Devarim Einam Bishuso Shel Adam, Vasana Kosov Kilu Bishuso. There are two things that are not in fact in your Rishus, but the Torah placed it in your Rishus, meaning they made you responsible for it even though it's not actually in your Rishus. So what are the two? Veiluhin, Bor Bishus Rabim, Vachamis Meshe Shal Sulamal. Bor, if I dig a bor in the Rishus Rabim, I don't own Rishus Rabim. A bor, by definition, has to be in a public domain where I cannot own. So I make a hole, a pit, I'm not responsible because I can't own it. The Torah says, no, if you dug it, you're responsible. Chametz as well, even though it's Asr Bana and no longer in Rishus, so I can't be Mevatel anymore, the Torah still made me violate the Isser of Chametz by having it in my Rishus. And then,
something that's also Bana is happening in Rishus?
Good question. The Rashi writes, we said earlier, and Rashi here as well, Rashi Delab Rishusei, it's 1, 2, 3, 7 lines from the narrow line. Delab Rishusei who? Eino Shelo. Something that's Asr Bana, Rashi writes, is Eino Shelo, is not yours. This is Rashi all over Shas. The Ksos argues, the Ksos says, no, that's not true. It is in your Rishus. It is in your Rishus. And how to get out, the Ksos deals with this Gemara here, how to understand Pshat in this Gemara, but Ksos says something that is Asher Bana is in fact under your ownership.
Even if you are like, if you say, okay, this, I'm not going to have a Na for 30 days.
Like a temporary Isser Na? So I'm not sure. I would guess still, according to Rashi, during those 30 days you don't have ownership.
So somebody and afterwards, can just take it.
I think so. I don't know for sure. And just make one last ta'ara here. Well, I guess we'll stop here. But one last ta'ara. You look at Rashi quickly. Rashi says higher up, halfway down Rashi, Habodek tzarech sheivatel bilibo samach lebedika miyad v'omer kol chamir deika lebesa hadin livtel. So a number of interesting things in Rashi. Number one is belave. He says bedika, say bittel, has to take place or can take place belev. However, others say has to take place ba'amira. You have to actually articulate it. Shulchan Aruch actually says two different places. Once he says bittel, once he says you need to actually say bittel belev, and another time he says bittel ba'amira. So the Torah writes, ideally it's enough to just have a bittel belev, but the minhag has become to do an amira. So that's. But there's a steer in Rashi that Tzlach points out. Rashi in the beginning says bilibo, and the end he says v'omer kol chamira deika bebeisa hadin levato. First he says do a bit of belay, and then he says do a bit of bamira. So the Achrim deal with a number of answers. So some say I'll give one of the answers. He says, I forget who says this one, but bilibo doesn't mean just think about it. Bilibo means think about the words of kol chamira. That's what bilibo means. But you don't have to actually articulate them. That's number one point. Second point in Rashi is when do you do the bittel. So Rashi says you do it samach lebedika miyad, right away. So at nighttime when you do the bedika, that's when you do the bittel. Rabbeinu Chananel, if you turn to the next page for a second, the top line of Zayin Amun Aleph, Rabbeinu Chananel says, at least the Mai Gemara, everyone has the newer Gemara, not necessarily, but the top of Mai Rabbeinu Chananel, he says, Amar of Yehuda mahabodek acher sheyivaer hakol tzarech sheyivate belibo. After you do the biur, the next day is when you should do bittel. So Machlokas Rashi, Rabbeinu Chananel, when to do bittel, nighttime or daytime, and we paskin to do, like the Rosh says, to do both, night and during the daytime. Okay, so pick up tomorrow.